exposing hypocrisy. Matthew 23. Let's turn the word of God to Matthew chapter 23. We'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 33. Matthew 23, verses 1 to 33. Exposing hypocrisy. Let us hear the word of the living God as found in Matthew 23, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats at the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow in those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he has won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guide to strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? This is the word of God. In contrast to Matthew 23, 3 to the Beatitudes in the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, there are 8 blessings in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, but here there are 8 woes to the hypocritical Pharisees. These are covenantal curses. Here is God in his Son Christ Jesus pronouncing his curse upon the religious leaders of Israel. This is God's lawsuit against apostates who are marked by hypocrisy. Now, from Matthew 23, we can identify 7 marks of a hypocrite. First of all, they're inconsistent. They say one thing and they do another. Their speech and their actions are contrary to one another. They seem to know a lot, but they do not practice what they preach. Their words and their works do not line up. Their lips say one thing, their lives say another. They may tell others to obey the law, but they themselves don't obey the law. They advocate standards and experiences that they do not even evidence. They're characterized by much talk, but little action. Is your life a contradiction of your words? Talk is easy, but walk and work and warfare is hard. The first mark of a hypocrite is that he contradicts his words by his actions. Do your actions betray your words as hypocritical? If so, you'd need to stand convicted of hypocrisy and bow your head in repentance, confessing your sin. The first mark of a hypocrite is inconsistency. The second mark is they are people pleasers. The characteristic of a hypocrite is he seeks the approval and the applause of people. Whenever he does something right, considered right, it's in such a way that may be seen. There's a term today of virtue signaling. Social justice warriors and others, they love to virtue signal. They've got to have documentation of it. They've got to say to show that they are on the side of the multicultural, tolerant LGBTQ or whatever the agenda is, that they're signaling a virtue that they're standing with this particular agenda or another. The Pharisees and Jesus, they would actually sound a trumpet before giving his alms, his tithes, offerings. He would stand at the street corner to perform his prayers so that he could be seen by the maximum amount of people. To the hypocrite, virtue done in the dark is almost a vice. He cannot detect any beauty and virtue unless there's an audience. The standard of the hypocrite is the opinion of others. His law is self-seeking and self-virtuous. If he is virtuous, by his standards or the standards of the world, it's in order to be praised. If something that is a vice today were to be considered virtue tomorrow, he'd abandon himself to it with enthusiasm. Applause is what the hypocrite seeks after. The hypocrite wonders what is the point of giving to the poor or praying to God in secret when no eye can see and no tongue can sing his praise. They court and they covet places of honor and respect. Hypocrites do their so-called good works or virtue signaling for multiculturalism, LGBTQ, tolerance, for approval and applause. Is that so with you? If so, be honest, and as you would convict another, convict yourself in prayer and repentance before God. Inconsistency, people pleasers, and thirdly, pride. Hypocrites love titles, honor, and respect from people. Archbishop, Oscar Award winning, Nobel Prize winner, Pulitzer Prize winner, New York Times best-selling author. The hypocrites love being praised and honored and seated in the best places and regarded as respectable and popular. Yet this has not been the way of Christians through the ages. The very term Christian was a mark of derision and insult. Little Christ, little soldiers of Christ. And the word Christian, a diminutive of Christ, was considered an insult when Christians were first so called at Antioch. However, they gladly took this term of reproach. Yes, we're Christians. The term Puritan was used as an insult by drunkards to swear at believers who sought to maintain a godly standard. The Reformed Christians gladly took on this term of reproach. Yes, we're Puritans. Similarly, the term Methodist was meant as a term of abuse by worldly university students, and the Wesleyans adopted the term Methodist gladly as their title. By popular acclaim, the missionary Patrick was called a saint. However, in his own writings, he only described himself as a sinner. What are we to say about the people who want to be referred to as apostle, trying to elevate themselves to the level of the 12 apostles that Jesus taught, selected, and trained? Or prophet, are they seriously putting themselves on the level of Elijah, Isaiah, Daniel? Your Holiness. The only time the word Holy Father is used in the Bible is in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 17, when the Lord Jesus Christ prays to the Holy Father, obviously referring to the Father, Almighty God in heaven. What are we to say about Papa the Pope, who wants himself to be called His Holiness and the Holy Father? Our Lord Jesus Christ commanded in no uncertain words you to call no one on earth Father. You have one spiritual Father in heaven. It's not speaking against people calling their own biological father Father. It's speaking about having a religious leader who's called Father, which the Catholic Church requires as the title for their priests, that they are Father. But Jesus expressly said, you have no father on earth except one who is in heaven. Our Lord warns us against the temptation to accord human leaders the authority and the prerogatives that belongs to God alone, making an idol of themselves effectively. To honor ourselves in church where God alone should be honored makes idolatry even more reprehensible. The worst idolatry of all is idolatry in the church. Are you willing to be the despised follower of our Lord Jesus Christ? If you only want to follow the Lord to be honored by men when it's popular and legal, then you're a hypocrite. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that the servant is not greater than the master. If they hated Christ, they will hate you too. Christ suffered for us and left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. Whoever wants to be great amongst you should be the servant of all. So we have inconsistency, people pleasers, and pride. The fourth distinctive of hypocrites is they are fault finders, nitpickers. A hypocrite strains at a gnat, but he swallows a camel. The gnat is the smallest of unclean creatures in the Bible. The camel is the largest. In Aramaic, the words gnat and camel sound similar, so it is a play on words. Hypocrites major on the minors and they neglect the weightier matters of the law. They neglect justice and mercy and truth and faith. You can see hypocrisy in those very particular souls who look out for little things, always searching out small points of difference, while neglecting the big issues like the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations, teach obedience to all things the Lord has commanded, to fight the good fight of faith, the cultural mandate, the dominion mandate, to care for creation. They don't care about the big issues. We need to watch out when we find ourselves more concerned about trivialities than the kingdom of God, the word of God, the work of God, and the worship of God. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The Judaizers as of today have adopted so much of the legalism and the hypocrisy of the Pharisees recorded by John, recorded and catalogued by Matthew in chapter 23 of Matthew's Gospel. They find fault with some trifling issues while neglecting the major duties and calls and commands of God's word. Our Lord Jesus Christ identifies justice, mercy, and faith. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is the fulfillment of the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations, to teach obedience to all things He's commanded. We're to know God, and we are to make God known. We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We're to care for God's creatures. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Do not neglect the small issues, though, for He who is faithful in small matters can be trusted in large matters. However, we must make sure that our primary focus and the major time and energy of our life is devoted to what is of the greatest importance in the light of eternity. Fifthly, hypocrites are hollow. Hypocrites neglect the inward and they focus on the outward. They clean the outside of the cup and bowl, but the inside is full of extortion and self-indulgence. Like whitewashed tombs, they appear beautiful on the outside, but inside full of decay, corruption, death, and all kinds of uncleanness. They appear outwardly righteousness to men, but inside they're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. There are some beautifully bound books with lovely covers that have nothing inside them. There are many people who have very religious looking exterior while there's nothing spiritual going on in their life. And while a hypocrite gives minute attention to details of externals, they're careless about their inward heart, soul, and spirit. They may take the bread and the wine during a communion service, but they're not careful to see whether they've truly partaken of the flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. They may have been baptized with water, but they're not careful to see that they're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to newness of life in him. They may be satisfied with having been to a church service, but they fail to have communion with Christ and to worship God alone. Hypocrites are those who may be satisfied with external Christianity made up of Christian bumper stickers, t-shirts, and jewelry, but neglecting a personal devotion and daily discipleship walk with Christ. We've all seen pictures of rock stars and others, or people in Hollywood who have a cross around their neck, and you wonder, what on earth does that mean? Their entire life is spent serving Satan, and they think a cross around their neck makes some difference. What is this a blasphemous inversion of reality, or do they actually think that makes them a Christian? Like a tree with shallow roots or a rotten branch, the winds of adversity will cause the hypocrite to fail and to fall. Have you been born again? Have you passed from darkness to light? Have you been delivered from the bondage of Satan to the kingdom of God's own Son? Do you live in daily contact with and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you hunger and thirst for a closer walk with Jesus? If you cannot say this, then whatever your outward life may appear to be, then you're self-deceived and deceiving others, and the Lord's woes of the hypocrites may fall on you. Is this getting too personal? If so, may God be praised, because truth needs to be the death of delusions. The sixth mark of a hypocrite is they are counterfeits. Hypocrisy is mostly concerned with externals. Hypocrites are pretentious. It's all for show and nothing of substance. The religion of the hypocrite depends on the time and the place. The hypocrite's conscience is elastic. He can be something of a chameleon, taking his complexion from the background. It's easy to be a Sunday Christian in church or around Christians, but what is your behavior like the rest of the week? When you're around Christians, it's easy to behave as a Christian. But how do you behave around those who do not love the Lord and do not serve the Lord? If our character and conversation and conduct can be different and drastically change with our company, then we may be a counterfeit Christian. Now, the only things that get counterfeits are things of value. I've never seen a counterfeit Zimbabwe dollar, because Zimbabwe currency is worth nothing. So, of course, the fact that they're counterfeit Christians proves there is a true. Because if they're counterfeiting it, it's because there's a real. Christians are fallible. All Christians are fallible. But we're not to be false. We need to be a true Christian every day of the week, no matter what company we're in. The seventh mark of a hypocrite is double standards. Hypocrites are generally severe with others, but very, very lenient on themselves. Hypocrites can make what would easily be recognized as a vice in others seem like a virtue in themselves. Just think of, you are a miser, but I'm economical. You are stubborn, but I'm determined. You are wasteful, but I'm generous. And so we can take the same behavior or characteristic, but put a very nice word on it, a euphemism when it's in myself, but a very harsh, judgmental one when it is in somebody else. The hypocrite can be very concerned about the speck in somebody else's eye, but oblivious to the log in his own. Hypocrites make vices in others into virtues in themselves, and they can present themselves as virtues. Hypocrites are always making excuses for themselves while condemning others. The hypocrite is a judge, condemning, punishing, and ready to lynch others while considering themselves exempt from the very same standards, a law unto themselves. And Judges, it speaks about those who did what was right in their own eyes. Their conscience is so seared they can continue to wallow in the very sins that they condemn in others. Hypocrites impose burdens on others that they're not willing to bear themselves. John Bunyan, in Pilgrim's Progress, describes that Christians have the very opposite attitude to the hypocrite. After Mercy and Christiana and the children were washed in the bath and sealed with a seal, they came out of the water fair and lovely. And one began to say to the others, "You are fairer than I. You are more comely than I." They could see their own blemishes, but they could only see beauty to praise in the others. In honor, preferring one another. That's a very Christian trait. You ask a pagan, "Is he a good person?" And he'll answer, "I'm a very good person." You ask a Christian, he should not think of himself as a good person, because his standard is not other people, but his standard should be the Lord himself. The spirit of the hypocrite is that they are generous with themselves and they're harsh with others. But the spirit of a Christian needs to be severe with ourselves and harsh with others. Severe with ourselves, but generous with others, not the other way around. The condemnation of our Lord Jesus Christ against hypocrites is severe. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Nobody hates hypocrisy more than God. No one has given a more severe and more detailed expose and condemnation of hypocrisy than our Lord Jesus Christ. Most clearly in Matthew 23 and also in the Sermon on the Mount. The hypocrites built tombs to honor the prophets and added monuments, righteously flattened themselves that they would never have murdered the prophets as their fathers did. In fact, the very Pharisees to whom Jesus was speaking were the very ones conspiring at that moment to betray and crucify Christ. They wanted to murder the Messiah, but they absolved themselves of complicity in the murders of the prophets, which their fathers had done. Their self-conceit and their self-deceit was total. The same sun which melts the wax hardens the clay. And so we can read in Exodus that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, even as we read that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Because God's burning presence melted the heart of Moses, but hardened the heart of Pharaoh. It's the nature of the heart or the soil. The same sun hardens one and melts the other. God's people respond to the mercy of Christ by being melted in their hearts, but the hypocrites are hardened in their own hearts. He who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We've seen quite a few examples of radical hypocrisy just in the last week. We've seen people who condemn racism, praising the greatest racist of our lifetime, Robert Mugabe. We've got people who talk about the need for transparency and democracy, and yet they're praising one of the worst dictators that we've seen in African history, Robert Mugabe. It turns out that those screaming against racism the most are the worst racists of all. We've had a Supreme Court ruling, Constitutional Court ruling this last week, that parents may not spank their children. So a government that is telling us that you may kill your babies through abortion, and in fact 1.6 million babies have been killed in South Africa since Nelson Mandela legalized it on the 1st of February 1997. 1.6 million South African babies killed officially, legally, mostly with taxpayers' money, since Nelson Mandela legalized it. You may kill your baby, but you may not lovingly discipline them. The same government that wants you to accept blasphemy and accept pornography as freedom of expression wants you to believe that having a copy of the old South African flag is a hate crime. The same government that wants to say that kill the Boer, kill the farmer is free speech wants to suggest that some sermons or postings can be a hate crime and hate speech. Humanists are hypocrites. They claim to stand for tolerance, yet they are thoroughly intolerant of evangelical Bible-believing Christians. Humanists champion diversity and pluralism, yet they work steadfastly to exclude Christian views from the public square, such as from universities. They claim to believe in no moral absolutes, yet they make their own humanist opinions the new moral absolutes. Any scientist who dares to produce evidence that does not fit in with the evolutionary theories is denounced as unscientific, where science is meant to be experimentation and tests, testing every theory by the facts, and yet they want to have, doesn't matter what facts you come out with, it's got to conform with our theory. Doctors and nurses who do not want to pervert the healing profession into one that takes innocent life are to be bullied by legislation regulations into participating in abortions. Now, here you've got the case right now of Dr. Jacques Defosse, who as a medical intern at two military hospital in Weinberg 2 years ago was suspended and is still suspended from medical practice because he advised one of his patients on the negative effects for both the mother and the baby for an abortion, and that abortion is the killing of a human being, or factual, medical, biological facts, verifiable facts. You would think any doctor is duty-bound to do no less than advise a patient of the negative consequences of any chosen surgery or practice, or pharmaceutical product taken. And yet, this man has not had a chance to respond to the charges against him for 2 years, but has been deprived of earning his living in the medical practice that he has devoted himself to achieving. It's hard to avoid the conclusion that these pro-choicers are hypocrites. They don't want to give choice to the doctors. And of course, pro-choice is a lie. Babies don't choose to die. Teachers who believe in the sanctity of marriage and are convinced that sexual activity before marriage is destructive are expected against their own conscience to teach their students situation ethics and perverse alternative lifestyles and life skills, and in sex education, effectively teaching the mechanics of how to be a whoremongering, fornicating pervert. And if they oppose this, then they should be suspended from their jobs, they should be fired, and so on. Humanists claim to be non-religious, to be neutral, but in reality they are a new religion. Not even that new. In so many ways, modern secular humanism is little more than a revised old paganism of the ancient cults, which engaged in human sacrifice. Child sacrifice, temple prostitution, pornographic objects of worship. In fact, the humanists are a religion, and a very intolerant religion, and they're not even that new. It is this militant secular humanism which is aggressively rewriting history, subverting morals, undermining the central tenets of the Christian faith, and seeking to hijack not just universities and the arts and the sciences, but also the hearts, minds, and souls of our children. Humanists are hypocrites. They claim to be non-religious, while humanism is plainly a religion. In fact, they are registered as a 501c3 tax-deductible religious group in terms of the Land Revenue Service in America, just as any other church or mission is. In fact, if you go onto university campuses, you will find the Humanist Society listed along with the Atheist Society and the Anglicans and Baptist Society and the Methodist Society, Methodist, and so on, and the Pagan Society. They're all listed there under religions on university campus. They claim to be non-religious, but humanism is plainly a religion. Even the Humanist Manifesto concludes with, "So stand the principles of religious humanism." That's secular humanism's own manifesto. They claim to support tolerance, but they proven to be the most bigoted and intolerant of all. They claim to be for diversity and pluralism, but they want to exclude Christianity from the marketplace of ideas. They claim to not believe in any moral absolutes, but they elevate their own standards, or lack of standards, to effectively be new moral absolutes, which should anyone question, they will open themselves up to discrimination, ridicule, lawsuits, death threats, and worse. Plainly, we're dealing with humanism being the most destructive religion of all time and the most intolerant, because the stepchildren of humanism includes communism, which has managed to litter the 20th century with vast amounts of corpses. Evolutionists who claim to be for freedom of speech regularly ban any discussion or dissension and fire scientists to question Darwinian evolutionism or who ask questions which seem to indicate that they believe in intelligent design. And there are thousands of scientists with PhDs who are called unscientific and denied access to university faculties simply because they believe in intelligent design. The African National Congress have proven to be complete, blatant hypocrites by supporting the most racist comments, not only of Thabo Mbeki and of Julius Malema, but also of praising the radical racist Robert Mugabe and dictator. And, of course, employing, rewarding the most corrupt kleptocrats in the country's history. They applaud racism in Zimbabwe while giving lip service to non-racism and democracy. They legalize abortion, but they criminalize parental discipline. You can kill your baby, but you may not spank your child. They want you to accept blasphemy and pornography as free speech, but a flag can be a hate crime, and your freedom of speech can be curtailed as a hate crime or as hate speech. So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with hypocrisy on a vast, terrible, and extreme order. God sees everything. After warning of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that there's nothing covered that will not be revealed. There's nothing hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you've spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. What you've spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. The Lord reminds us God knows everything. God sees everything. He judges the thoughts of the heart. The Lord reminds us that the day of judgment will come when every secret will be revealed, even the hidden motives of the heart will be examined. In the light of the coming day of judgment, we must reject the counterfeit. We must repent of hypocrisy. We need to serve God in sincerity. We need to speak the truth with boldness and with courage. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 12:45, do not fear man. I will tell you whom to fear. Do not fear man who can only kill the body and after that he can do nothing else. Fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell forever. That is whom you should fear. The fear of God will free us from the tyrannical fear of man. We need to reject peer pressure and the seducing influence of public opinion and so-called popularity. It is appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. The day will come when you will stand before Almighty God and have to give an account for everything you've ever said and done. If you were to die today and if God was to judge you by his law, by his standards, would you be innocent or would you be guilty? Are you ready to face God? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. People pleasers make traitors. Let our yes be yes, let our no be no. Let us say what we mean and mean what we say. Be a man or woman of your word. A person of integrity, dependable, sincere, humble, not pretending to be more than you are, not better than you are, not worse than you are. Serve the Lord with fear. Do not be concerned what other people say of you. Reject peer pressure. Fear God alone. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to thank you and praise you for your word, for your truth, for your love. And we pray, Lord God, that you would free us from any hypocrisy. Help us, Lord God, to expose hypocrisy throughout our society as we are surrounded by hypocrites and liars in an age of apostasy. Help us, Lord God, to be faithful to your word, to be brave and bold in your service. We pray it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.